and welcome to Gen Extemporaneous. This is a podcast where I come up with an idea.
What are you laughing at?
You idiot.
I'm doing a low-key dance because I no longer feel it. I've lost the vibe.
Oh, God damn it.
All right, I'll go full Mark on this one.
Oh, thank God. Hi, and welcome to Gen Extemporaneous. This is a podcast where I come up with an idea, I do some research, I grab a bottle of wine, I bring everything to Mark, and he pontificates. In today's episode, the second in a two-episode arc about Ted Lasso's series finale, we are going to get a little bit meta. We're going to talk about opinion of opinion and how that plays out, often unkindly, in online venues. It has been a while since we've revisited the concept of online interaction, particularly trolling, but somewhat ironically, there is quite a bit of it happening in conjunction with the end of this show about positivity. Thank you for coming to listen to us each week. If you do like us, please share us with a friend. Well, hello, Mark Snedeker.
So what is my most common complaint after you do an introduction?
I know that we don't have any wine.
But today, I did a little self-help. We went to dinner.
That's right.
And you had ordered two glasses of Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. Because New Zealand is like Australian, but softer. And I even had a Guinness after that.
After that, so we went for another
stop. For a wild ride tonight.
Woo!
I bet you're pumped about that.
I am.
Because you are generally pretty tolerant of me when I'm when I've had a few.
Yes. Well, I think you're funny.
Well,
you're funnier, actually.
Am I? Because you scowled at me many times.
Well, that's because you were being obnoxious.
Well, that's part of it.
Separate to being this.
Is it though?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's kind of part and parcel, as they say.
Okay.
All right. So Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso, but opinion about opinion. Now, I want to read something to you.
You know, I love meta shit, right?
Yeah, I know you do. So I want to read for you a review that I found online. This is a review from CBR.com.
Are you sure?
This is Ted Lasso's season 3 finale baited Ted Becca fans in the worst possible way.
Yeah, tough titties for you guys.
Okay, so last week you spent a lot of time saying they never had any kind of
goddamn right
whatever. Okay.
There were no signs of romance.
Okay, inaccurate there were. But let me read just a little bit of the some captures from this article.
Please do.
As Ted Lasso progressed, many ideally hoped that Jason Sudeikis's titular character and Hannah Waddingham's
titular
Rebecca Welton would end up together. The series teased as much, bringing them together constantly in many rom-com situations that could be construed as more than platonic. And honestly, Ted Becca shippers are well within their rights as the chemistry was off the charts. They did have good chemistry, they did put them into rom-com-y situations. They did do that. You can't deny that they didn't do that. Specifically, if you think about that scene where Rebecca, this is before we know that Sam is the mysterious banter person, and Rebecca's texting, and then it cuts to Ted also texting. And Rebecca's clearly texting with banter. We don't know who's on the other side of banter.
Right.
And the banter interaction was very Ted-like. That was a head fake for us because then they show Ted texting and it's kind of like, oh, maybe it's Ted.
Right. Then we know for 100% certain it's not Ted.
Later on, we know it's not Ted. But those are the kinds of things that they did, which led you to believe that, oh, okay, they may not be happening now, but all like the roads are leading to that kind of a face-off. Now, whether or not they would get together, who knows? But they were doing all kinds of different things like that.
And I'm 100% fine with head faking Ted Becca's shippers.
All right. Anyway, not to mention their kindred journeys about having to start anew felt compatible. So truly, they were both on kind of a similar path. However, those wanting a romantic ending for the duo are dealt a cruel blow because the season 3 finale, So Long Farewell, baits shippers in and then smashes the concept of Ted Becca apart in a way that doesn't feel organic to the plot at all.
False.
No, Mark, it's disingenuous of you to say, no, they didn't bait you. Because the very first scene is Ted walking into Rebecca's kitchen, looking tousled. He's right. obviously yeah, spent
that's
the
a,
night.
That's a joke. Yes. And we understand that. And no, after a few seconds, you're like, it's a comedy.
Yeah, but they're baiting. They're baiting people. They're baiting people. They're doing that knowing.
Okay.
That, okay. Well, but you just said, no, they didn't bait people.
Well,
but they
they're
did.
Not bait. They didn't give you any real indication that Ted and Rebecca had romantic interest in each other. There's not a strong storyline that suggests it. They're both interested in, have been interested in other people. And honestly, it's funny to me that people get upset about it.
Okay, so listen, the finale builds to Rebecca showing up at the airport when the AFC Richmond season's done, not too concerned about finishing second. Instead, she wants to celebrate Ted as a person. She makes offers to fly his family over and help them forge a happy life in England. She bargains in every way she can, putting herself in incredibly vulnerable positions throughout the episode. Simply, she's doing everything a soulmate would. And they are described as soulmates. Moreover, Jason Sudeikis said Ted Lasso is kind of what would happen if Nora Ephron, who was like the queen of rom-coms in the 90s, wrote a story about sports.
Right.
He himself is talking about it as being a rom-com. Well, if it's a rom-com, in rom-coms, there's a formula that is followed. My point here is that the shippers are not crazy for thinking that there was a possibility for that ship to happen. I'm going to let me finish this now. These moments prove that their relationship shakes up the playbook, but it does so while still having Rebecca challenging Ted to reach for greatness with her, to be with someone who totally gets him outside of Coach Beard, even if she doesn't say the words out loud. The thing is that Ted does not reciprocate Rebecca's vulnerability, particularly in season three. In seasons one and two, he's more open to it. In season three, he does not. He starts to pull back. But Rebecca is exposing herself and making herself really vulnerable with Ted.
You know what way she's not making herself vulnerable?
It doesn't mean, it doesn't, look, she's all but, say, she's not saying all the words. There's some things that are being kept back, but she is being vulnerable. Listen, she goes to the airport to say goodbye to him. She buys a first class ticket just to get back
out of habit.
Just to get back to see him and say goodbye to him and try one more time. She's open and vulnerable, and Ted is not reciprocating. And what that means to me, and I've come to this conclusion, Ted's a dick.
That's silly. So that's a very silly take by people who are, for some bizarre reason, mad that a show didn't go the way they wanted it to go. You have no right to expect a relationship to happen on a show. You don't. You don't have like.
What do you mean you have no right? You have every right.
No.
You have every right.
No, you don't.
You certainly do. Everybody has every right to hope that a show is going to go the way they want it to go.
Well, that's fine. You can hope it. But to get angry about it is beyond silly.
No, it doesn't make it silly. It means those people are invested in what was going on that show. The entire world was mad when Game of Thrones didn't end the way that
I wasn't mad.
Mark, just because you did not feel angry that Game of Thrones didn't end in a satisfying way,
no,
that doesn't mean that other people. But the thing is that you're classifying it as silly. And this is actually the point of this entire episode.
How silly it is?
No, which is how people feel emboldened to denigrate others' opinions in a way that you are doing. So you think, you said, right when I was reading that to you, you said, well, that's silly.
It is silly.
Okay. No.
It's a TV show.
Okay, but so was Game of Thrones. People were upset about Game of Thrones.
Well, that's silly too.
Well, but Mark,
it's a TV show. That's my whole point of this is that people who get angry about a television show maybe are taking it a bit too seriously.
According to whom?
Like common sense and rationality and Mark. You know,
yeah, I mean, see, but according to you. And
yeah, of course, and because it's a TV show. You don't have any control over it. It is what it is. If you don't like it, okay, that's fine. You can express how much you don't like it. But anger just seems very misplaced for a work of art. Like, I've never been angry at a painting. Mm-hmm. I've had paintings I don't like. There are songs I don't like. There are TV shows I don't like, but they don't make me angry.
Well, but just because you don't have that reaction doesn't make sense.
Well, I don't understand it. So maybe you can explain it, why it would make you angry.
Let's dive into this subject and see where this leads us. It's obviously going to be contentious as hell. So everybody, fuckle up.
I guess so.
Holy cow. Okay, so let me ask you this question, because a lot of what I'm talking about here is stuff I'm witnessing online. This is not in real life that I'm experiencing this. I'm not seeing people.
Oh, you about to.
No, I'm not seeing people like, you know,
standing on the street corner and arguing about
and
Ted
arguing
Lasso.
About Ted Lasso. And it might be that you would say, oh, you know, I really didn't like that ending. And then someone would say, well, I really liked it. And then you just kind of, you know, it's
punch
not like
each other
you know,
in the fucking face.
No, but it's like, right. I think that you don't engage the same way. So online, obviously, fair. It happens in different ways. When online first started, what do you think the, and maybe you remember this because you're
old.
We're both old enough to remember when online started.
I do.
It was, what I'm interested in is online as a forum, as a place yeah. for opinions to be shared and things like that. So how was it imagined?
So it was imagined to be like the town square, mm-hmm. right? Where everybody just comes in, they share their opinion and they throw their arms around each other's virtual shoulders mm-hmm. and go off and have a beer, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you're going to get so many different opinions, the kinds of people you would never interact with normally. They'll mm-hmm. be from, you know, other countries and other zip codes and economic strata and whatever. And it's just going to be this free to be you and me kind of happiness, joyous information exchange, mm-hmm. right?
And that's how, right. And if you remember back to that episode that we did about online trolls and sock
yes.
puppets, and we talked about how almost instantly online, there were people who would go in and troll.
Yes.
And in that case, they were talking about that cat, the guy who went in and trolled the cat group.
Right. And he was like, all right, so I know you guys all love cats. So my cat was like yowling and was very frustrated. So I masturbated him with a Q-tip.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, oh. And they were like, we're with you. What? What?
Yeah.
You did what?
And I mean, it was a long game because yes. he joined the group and acted like he was a part of the group.
Right.
And it was a supportive group
I mean,
of cat
honestly,
lovers.
That was masterful.
It is. It's a really funny troll. Right.
Yeah.
But do you think that vision for togetherness played out for a while or just was immediately?
If I can paraphrase from my cousin Vinny,
mm-hmm.
you know, it didn't.
True. Now, there was, I feel like there was a little bit more.
There's a little bit
latitude.
More grace
yeah.
and
dialogue.
Politeness
and dialogue, right?
Correct.
I think that there was more give and take, but
right.
now it is just a freaking battle zone.
Well, and what people have realized is two things. One, nobody knows who I am.
Anonymity,
I can do
right.
whatever I want. Nobody will, you know, see me in the grocery store and confront me. Unless you end up in a Karen video, you know, I could just be as wicked and as I want. Secondly, outrage pays, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for clicks, clout, cash money, whatever it is, outrage pays.
Mm-hmm.
That is something in the algorithm that is rewarded. And that is in some part, I don't know if it's large part or medium part or whatever,
mm-hmm.
why people do it. And it does encourage this kind of vicious and many times contrarian,
uh-huh.
edgelord kind of take.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's true that disagreement is a better way to get clicks, to get
sure.
online, to get views and things like that. And if your whole goal online is to gain as many followers as you can, like on Twitter or on Reddit
yeah.
or whatever else, the harder you go, because for whatever reason, people, well, I mean, who doesn't admire a sick burn, right? Like,
oh, sure.
You do admire a sick burn, especially if the initial comment is really dopey or whatever.
So I will admit that whenever I hear a statement, my immediate reaction is to test it
mm-hmm.
internally. How is that wrong? If someone says, you know, I think all penguins are awesome, my first reaction is, well, let's look for examples of how penguins aren't awesome. You know, they eat their young or they eat somebody else's young or whatever. I mean, that's just part of testing the veracity of statements. But, and I don't always succeed, I try not to be the guy to say, well, actually, penguins are not awesome. In fact, they're cold-blooded killers. They're the murderers of the Antarctic or the Arctic. I don't remember which one they're in. Antarctic, I guess. You know, there is that instinct to be kind of to challenge anything somebody boldly says. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing it in a fun or cheeky way, it's healthier, in my opinion, than if you're just like, you're a fucking moron and you're the worst human ever for thinking that penguins are awesome. And let me tell you, my parents were killed by penguins and you don't even know the depths of hell that penguins sink into.
Plus they stink.
They can't even fly. What the fuck are they doing?
They fall a lot.
Yeah, they're like clumsy. They're falling into ice holes and shit. I hate them. Emperor my ass.
All right, but so that is how it is, though, right? People will attack you for your opinions.
That it's just this instinct online for a certain segment to just go, whatever you say, I'm criticizing it. And well, I'm doing it in a nasty way if I can.
And think how many people actually scrolled past that comment that were also angered by it, but figured, like, I can't think of anything funny to say. I'm not even going to say anything.
Fuck that Mark guy. He has no shit about Shinola.
But that is what is happening. People are incredibly intolerant of others' opinions.
And angry.
I understand your point of view where you might say, I don't get it. That seems silly to me that people really got upset that
I don't.
Yeah. That Ted Becca didn't happen.
Yeah.
I have sympathy for that. Not only because I also shipped Ted and Rebecca for a while, but
you recovered.
But it became clear to me that Ted is so actually still fucked up.
Of course he is.
That's not even a good relationship for Rebecca right
now. No, it's
not. Rebecca is further along in her healing process.
Yeah, and credit to you for recognizing that, which a lot of people don't.
Well, you know, but I understand them not wanting to. What you want from most people, when I go to a romantic comedy, I want there to be a happy ending. I don't want there to be an ending that you go, oh, fuck, man, they both seem miserable.
There are plenty of happy endings in that show.
But they're the two protagonists, Ted and Rebecca. Rebecca had, I guess, a happy ending.
You just don't like it.
Although, no, yeah. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. That's like all of the sudden in a romantic comedy, some guy that was on screen for 2 seconds at the beginning comes back and he's her endgame.
Well,
that doesn't,
they're not,
that does not
make
sense.
Nobody has said that. They went to one ceremony together. They went to one event together.
No, well, there's a party. You saw them having a party and he was there with her.
Yeah,
at that.
Which is,
and then also the wedding.
That's a date. They're not saying their end game or that they're life partners or she's adopting his daughter. They're basically saying, hey, she found a chance for romance and she's trying it out.
Well, which would have been fine until Coach Beard did the AMA. And he said, Boat Guy is the lightning.
Let's also just have a little bit of perspective that psychic powers are not real. Okay.
Well, but.
And they're basically imposing this meaning on the matchbook covers and the army men and the lightning and all that stuff. And you can create meaning and find meaning that way. But nobody is really saying that this is some kind of, you know, divine destiny or anything.
All right. So in the series, Rebecca goes to this psychic and Rebecca is a skeptic and walks out and says, you're dangerous. You're not even, you know, you're dangerous because she predicts that she's going to have a family. In the end, what the show revealed to us through all of those little things that she was told by the psychic cropping up is that, oh, well, hey, maybe there is something to it. The show is not saying there definitely is something to it. The show, by showing you those clues, is saying, well, maybe there is something to it. And here's where all of those things come into play. And then on top of everything else, not only does Rebecca have a green matchbook, Ted has the same green matchbook, which of course he would because it was from Ola's. But that is another way that people are looking at that. They're like, oh, God, Ted has a green matchbook. Now you can say, well, that just meant nothing. But it's for people who are watching the show for symbolism and they know that there have been callbacks and other symbols in the show, including this whole meta narrative about either The Wizard of Oz and or Mary Poppins, which is very clearly, you know, sort of a metaphor that's going through this show. The writers are doing that. And then you're saying, well, they're doing that for everything except when it comes to Ted and Rebecca and those symbols. Those aren't symbols or signs. Those mean nothing, but all the other symbols and signs mean.
I'm not saying they mean nothing. I'm just saying they don't necessarily mean what the Ted Becca people want it to mean. I think the better way to look at the whole psychic experience there is that if someone believes or starts to believe in a prophecy or a prediction, they tend to start looking for ways to make it come true.
Well, and the writers certainly filled in all those blanks for Rebecca. All of those things did at one point or another show up in Rebecca's storyline.
Right, because it's very vague and you can impose meaning on any of those things to justify almost any narrative.
So you're saying they're so vague that they could basically mean anything.
Absolutely.
Then why is it silly that some people thought that it meant
it's not silly that they thought that. It's silly that they're mad about it.
That doesn't seem to me to be a kind way to interact with other people's opinions. And maybe kind isn't even the right word here. Instead of trying to understand someone's opinion, what I see happening so much is people just, exactly what you said, dismissing people's opinions, just saying out of hand. And you yourself, as we were talking through that, said, well, there were things that were there and the writers did put those things in and they really, they're so vague that they could mean whatever. They could mean anything. Well, that means that they could mean that it is not unrealistic for people to have seen those signs and assumed that that meant the writers were pointing towards a Ted Becca ending.
I don't disagree that you could see those signs. I don't think that they were there in sufficient number to actually believe them, but that can be a difference of opinion. All I mentioned was it is silly not to believe that, but to be mad about it. It is a television show.
Okay.
And that's what oftentimes fuels the heat in these discussions is people give this elevated importance.
But
right?
It means something to them.
And it can mean something to you. That's fine, too. But to be angry at a television show as someone who thinks stoicism is a pretty good approach, silly. Who are you mad at? Are you mad at the writers?
Yeah, they're mad.
For not giving you what you want?
No, but it's not that they just didn't give. No. See, and here's, I think, also where some of the misunderstanding comes in. It's not that
I don't think I'm misunderstanding.
Yes,
anything.
I think no, not you. I mean, general misunderstanding. I think that a lot of people assume that when people say, I'm upset about Ted Becca not happening, it's not because it didn't happen that people are upset. They are upset because they feel baited by the writers into thinking that there was a chance for that.
So
when Coach Beard, when Brendan Hunt did the AMA, he said there was never a chance. They were never thinking about that. And that's nonsense.
Have any of these people ever read or seen an Agatha Christie story?
But this wasn't a murder mystery, Mark.
It's
misdirection.
Not, misdirection
okay.
is normal in a narrative because the element of surprise is entertaining.
But you're saying now that at the end, it was misdirection that the writers, so you're agreeing that the writers were baiting?
No, I think they created ambiguity, which is perfectly acceptable in a TV show, a movie, a poem, a song, whatever you want. You can create ambiguity without getting people mad. Theoretically,
you can. And but I think that it has that sort of narrative trick has a place. I'm not convinced that at the end of a rom-com.
It's not a rom-com.
Well, I mean, Jason himself said this. Imagine this is a series about sports written by Nora Ephron.
It can be a rom-com for multiple characters. Right. But that doesn't mean that you're entitled to this Ted and Diane closure, okay?
No one's saying that anyone's entitled, except for the fact that it does not follow traditional rom-com.
Good.
If it's okay, but you can't say, well, it's a rom-com that's not, so then it's
I can
not
actually,
a rom-com.
That's exactly what I can say, because it's not a traditional rom-com.
But so now what you're saying is the way to write rom-coms is to actually have your two protagonists only one of them seems to maybe be embarking on a relationship life. The other one is going back to certain failure in the situation that he's going to go back
Absolutely.
To.
That's perfectly acceptable
that
art.
That is not rom-com.
Because that is not boring and predictable.
It was absolutely predictable that Ted was going to go back. The entire show was set up.
Then why are people upset that they didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen?
If it's a
It's either you were misguided or it was clear.
No.
Which is it?
No. They set it up to do that. If you look at it, there was never any other ending than this. But then why pretend with the rom-com stuff?
Because people are complicated. Maybe Rebecca was starting to entertain those types of things.
There's no maybe about
it. But she didn't go all in on it.
Of course not.
And there's a good reason for that, because Ted is fucked up.
Ted is fucked up. And this is why I stopped shipping them, as I said.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But what I am saying is I don't think it's fair for people to dismiss shippers and pretend And try and gaslight them and say you shouldn't have seen that. There was something silly about you seeing
all
that.
I will say that the only hints you got were very esoteric. There was never any moment with Ted and Becca that you thought, I think they're going to kiss, right?
If
you did, you weren't paying attention.
There were a couple of moments
none of those.
Oh, no, there were. When he was, first of all, when Sassy shows up in his room, I thought it was going to be Rebecca. And I think that the writers had contemplated having it be Rebecca show
Beard
up.
Says no. They did. Entertained the idea because of course you have to. And every single writer on that show, which by the way, they are excellent writers. And that would have been the obvious, safe, in my opinion, dumb choice to just go. Everybody wants them to get together. Let's just make them fuck.
Well, no. And it wouldn't even have to be that. But there could have been you get Ted going back and just looking unhappy.
I wanted to see more headball goals.
I hope that that's not where it ends for Ted. Right. I hope if they decide to do more, because no one's really confirming that they're not going to.
At the end, in the airport, Rebecca's like, Ted, I could throw so much money at you. Mm-hmm. Isn't that really Apple being able to say, Ted, Jason, we could throw so much money
that is,
at
I mean,
you.
That is.
And,
where
and it, honestly, this is their job. If he's like, well, that's a lot of money, yeah. Apple, maybe I'll take another season. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they'll do they'll do the Richmond Way, right? Mm-hmm. That's the next series.
Or something about the women's team or
right,
something like
whatever.
That. I'm wondering if Jason is Ted, who says, I don't really care about the money. I'm going to walk away from it.
A lot of money.
You guys can do whatever you want to do, but, and truly, they were living in England famously. I mean, he's going through a tough divorce and stuff like that. So even though he says
that's the whole point. They're taking Ted out of it.
Yeah, Ted, changed the name. This was never really about me. Ted, come on. I mean, come on. This show was about Ted Lasso.
Of course it is. But
why tell us about his struggles?
Let's not get confused. That's the character Ted saying that, not Jason Sudeikis necessarily.
No, but
right?
That's the writers. The belief is that the canon is that this show, according to that, was not really about Ted. Take Ted out of it. It's really about the others.
They're not saying take Ted out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, people are interpreting it.
They're saying
it.
The show, I think they're wrong. Ted is the hub of the wheel, but it's really mostly about the spokes.
Ted is the center attacking mid.
He is the cam. He is. And he's distributing to all the other players so they can score goals. Mm-hmm. And which I, by the way, respect in no way whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You got to be the goal scorer.
Well, right. So I don't think that the show can be without Ted. Like, give the relationship that has ambiguity at this point is Ted and Michelle, and that is such a non-starter. That is so horrible. I would say, what are you thinking?
But guess what? They told you this is the series finale. So you really can't start going.
They didn't say that it's a series. It's called the descriptor, says season finale.
Right. But the actors have told you this is it. We've decided to do. Now, they might change their mind.
This is the end of that story.
I think everybody needs to come to the realization that the Ted Lasso was a 3-season phenomenon. It was amazing. It was great. appreciate it, value it, but that's over.
And I think that a lot of people understand that.
And they didn't promise
but
you.
What I would say is that, first of all, Ted Becca shippers feel duped by the writers. Now, whether or not you agree with them, that is how they feel. That is real. Those feelings are real. Second of all, I don't think that they're wrong to feel that way. I think that the writers were toying with them. They certainly knew that there was a large contingent that were shipping it. And they're probably like, yeah, this will be a sick burn. This will be funny.
I don't think they're thinking of it as a sick burn. They're not trying to insult those people.
This is a clever.
They would like, they might say, you know what? Let's tease them a little bit with this because that's what entertainment is about.
But I wonder if they expected the serious backlash that they face, because there are people, as you pointed out, who are very angry.
Right.
So
rational.
Well, Mark, that's in your opinion. It's not.
Argue that being angry at a TV show is rational.
Because I think that people get very invested in
the
characters.
And that's fine. But you also have to.
Just because you don't get invested that
way. I love this show. I was very invested in the show. I waited every week for the new episode to come out.
I know.
I love the positivity of it. But I don't get mad at a TV show.
Because you are not as invested. You may be invested. You may like it.
I'm invested in what I think is a reasonable amount.
That's
my
characteristic
opinion.
Of you. You yeah. keep
I'm not
things
going
very
around, by
at
the
surface.
I'm not going online and going, you Ted Rebecca shippers are morons.
Not. No, no. Right? But what you did do
you
is.
You loser incel when freaks.
That's your opinion.
Of course it is.
But that doesn't make it. Correct. Your opinion is not necessarily the correct opinion.
Well, let's see if we...
You approach the show very... as invested as you are, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say that Mark can get invested in things here because Mark exists in a puddle.
Christina is drawing a line of right around her shoulder.
No, level. You exist in a puddle. So you're... Remember, we talked about this.
Am I a frog?
This. No, you're a puddle. Like, your knowledge is broad, but maybe not super deep.
But now you're saying my emotions are broad and not deep?
Yeah, I think in some cases, and that's how you understand the world or understand media or whatever else.
Yeah.
And I am similar to you. I think I can get more attached to characters. I can get deeper in. But I am not certainly as deep in as some of the people that I'm seeing. So... But I can imagine that that exists and that it's very real. And I can also imagine that just because I don't feel that doesn't mean that I'm right and they're wrong or they're silly or they're whatever. They're just doing their thing. That's the way that I look at it. I don't want to say that this is you because you're not certainly, as you said, you're not going online and you're not saying to people you're silly for shipping Ted Becca. But I can imagine you coming across a post where you would see someone who was perhaps too, and that is what I'm seeing happening, is that there are people then who come in and say, well, actually, and then they start to explain to the person who's expressing their frustration over something that they feel very deeply about. And they're saying, you know, they're pouring their feelings out and they're having a conversation with their community. And then all of a sudden, here comes someone swerving into their lane to come in and, well, actually them.
Right.
And that, to me, is symptomatic of what is happening on all levels about all subjects, media, politics, everything. Online, everyone wants to swerve into another lane. It seems like, well, not everyone, but a lot of people, very vocal people, want to swerve into someone else's lane and kind of yuck their yum. And I don't understand that.
So in that case, though, are you really yucking someone's yum?
Yes, because
you're really either yumming their yuck or yucking their yuck.
Well, you might be, but here's ultimately,
isn't that okay?
Ultimately, what you're doing is you're going in and you're mocking someone
I do mock people, but usually people who deserve it.
But you're taking your opinion and assuming that it has any place trying to criticize someone for feeling a certain way about something like media, which is a totally subjective thing. Now, there are political issues and there are social issues that I think there are harmful, wrong opinions,
yes.
Right? And I think that that's fair to talk to people and attack them and challenge those opinions. But when it comes to something like, I'm angry because Ted Lasso didn't end the way that I wanted it to end. Come to me then and say, how silly of you. Well, why? How silly of you not to be invested?
Look, I'll give you an example. Game of Thrones. I read the books. I watched the show for 11 years or whatever the fuck it was. I don't even know how long it was. Did I think the last season was good? No. Did I think ending it with Arya coming up with this move where she drops the knife and then grabs it?
That was sick.
I mean, that's not great, right?
I love that.
Well, I mean, it's great that she killed him. I would have liked to have seen them do it in a less contrived way, but that's fine. But I didn't get mad, and then they kill, you know, Daenerys. Okay, well, I can kind of see why you would kill her, but it was not well done, right? They'd clearly rushed the last season. Am I mad? No. I wouldn't watch that season again, probably, and I didn't really, I wasn't that invested in the prequel. Mm-hmm. Right. I kind of faded out on that. Mm-hmm. But I don't get mad about TV shows usually.
Well, and that's okay that you don't. The point isn't that you must get mad. But I would say that people who criticize for people expressing feelings or opinions that are opposite theirs regarding something like media.
Right.
Well, like, why is your opinion better? Why do you get to come in? Like, what you don't see have happening is the people who are Ted Becca shippers who are disappointed. You don't see them going to threads where people are like, this was the greatest show ever. It was everything
I think
happened.
You can see that.
Now, I haven't seen it. No. I've been looking for it.
I feel like it's probably out there. Maybe not.
The most I have seen people do is go, yeah, I really liked it. I was disappointed about Ted Becca, but, it was overall a great show. Yeah. You don't see the folks who really are upset about Ted Becca. You don't see them going into threads where all the positivity is happening and going, no, it sucked.
You know, I have no problem with the Ted Becca shippers, especially there was a period of time when you were one of them. I just didn't think that the show really gave you sufficient justification to expect that was endgame. And you realized that before a lot of people, right?
Well, so what I would say, though, is that when we texted about it and I watched it before you did, because I am super invested. And so it is not.
I have no doubt about it. You got up at 3 in the morning to watch this show.
I exactly did. Right. I know. I 100% when I woke up in the middle of the night, I stayed up and I watched it.
And you are maybe more invested than me and obviously have a more flexible sleep schedule.
No, but what my point is that I texted you and I said, I didn't really like the ending.
Yeah.
And you came back with, your first words back to me were, are you crazy?
Yeah, I did say that.
You're crazy.
I might have been just saying that in general.
You're crazy. The episode was great. That's what she said. What more could you have wanted? Everything, right. And the thing is that I didn't then turn around.
I didn't really
around.
Think you were mentally ill because you didn't like it.
No, I know, but that's a critical remark about my opinion.
Yeah.
And what I said to you was, I didn't say to you when you said, oh, I really liked it or anything else. I didn't come back with you and say, no, you're crazy.
Right.
I get it. I understand why you liked it. There were some really good parts. I just didn't like the ending. And then you kept saying that you were incredulous that I might not have liked the ending.
Yeah. And it just seems like I know this is not you. But it seems like an edgelord position.
No, it's absolutely not.
No, I know not for you.
No, but
I'm just saying it's an edgelord take.
Even for most of these people that I'm following on Twitter and on Reddit who are Ted Becca shippers, they're expressing their disappointment and they're hurt. Some of these people are actually hurt.
See, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, but
they're fictional characters.
They are, but they are invested in these fictional characters.
Like, I was hurt that Colonel Henry Blake died in a sense, but I wasn't mad at the show about it for killing him off, for killing McClane Stevenson.
Well, because it was a poignant and plausible thing to have happen.
So was this.
Not in a rom-com. If they had stayed...
That's not in a traditional formulaic rom-com.
Well, but rom-coms, by their nature, are formulaic.
Which makes them bad entertainment. Yes, I agree.
I totally disagree. They are great
predictability
entertainment.
And formulaic storylines will never make great art.
Sometimes you just want mashed potatoes.
Well, sure, that's fine. And if you want, you want your hot dogs or whatever.
Sometimes you just want something comfortable.
Yeah.
You want to be able to put on your clothes, your cozy clothes.
If you think that was, that kind of prosaic, vanilla pandering is what this show is about, I feel like you didn't get it a little bit.
See, that's your opinion.
It is. I mean, I understand that. I agree that is my opinion. Now, my opinion is incredibly well-reasoned.
But what you have to notice there is I said to you, well, that's your opinion. You felt emboldened to tell me that because I have an opinion that is not yours,
yeah,
that I must not have understood.
I feel like
this
your sense of humor died somewhere. No. Would you like to go look for it?
No.
You know that I really didn't think that you were mentally ill.
I know you didn't.
It's just funny that people who love a show that is about positivity were being negative about the positivity show.
To me, is super interesting. Is not that there are people that are upset with how it ended. There's always going to be people who don't like the way something ends.
Of course.
My thing that I find odd in conjunction with this show about positivity is the fact that there are people who are so, here's a Ted Lasso thing, they're so judgmental. Instead of being curious about why someone is expressing anger over how the show ended, they are judgmental about it.
Oh, so I should have gone, why? Are you so crazy that you think the show was bad?
No, you could have just said, why did
better manners when I'm holding a dart?
Why didn't you like it?
Well, we did discuss that.
Well, we did in the episode. It was kind of a setup, Mark, because I knew that because I knew that you would be on the wrong side of history.
I am
this
definitely
time.
Never on the wrong side of history.
Oh, you certainly
history,
are.
I called history the other day. I'm like, she's like, you're good, man.
No,
you're,
you are. You've proven my point.
You're anti-slavery. Good job. Anti-Nazi. Yes. Excellent. Again. Pro human rights. I got you, bro. And Ted Lasso is generally a great show. I mean, that's
what you don't know is that history shipped Ted and Rebecca.
Well, history, you might need to get your shit together a little
bit. But here is what I do not understand. Here is where I am on your side.
Lay it on me.
With this discussion. I have seen people on Twitter who attack Jason personally. And say things like, this is because of your divorce. This is you. They're essentially saying that Jason wrote a story where the guy goes back to his wife and son. Because
that's what he wants.
Now he wants to go back to Olivia Wilde.
So let's say that's true. That's what art is. If he decided not to ship it because he wasn't in that headspace anymore, that's good art. Now, you might not like it. That's fine. But don't get mad at him for using his personal inner feelings in his shows.
Ultimately, I think that people do this, and I don't know that there's any way that you're going to be able to stop it or get away from it. The only thing that you can do is scroll past and not engage.
But I think it's okay if your enjoyment of a subject, show, song, whatever, is enhanced by discussing and, yes, debating it with other people. That's fine. What it's not okay is to go, your opinion makes you a shitty human, and I hate you, and I want to murder your dog.
Well, no, but I mean, how far is too far? There are a lot that no one's going that far.
Well,
no one's going that far. But
there's no simple answer to that. But I think being mean where someone's not being mean first,
yeah,
is probably
people are just
not cool
sharing their thoughts, and then you get people coming in and saying, you must not have watched, you don't know what you even saw, you're such an idiot. The implication is that these people are so stupid because they created something out of whole cloth that didn't exist, which is kind of where you started out saying,
I think they read too much into it.
Okay.
I think that the red herrings that they fell for were probably pretty obvious.
You're doing a good job of proving my point, which is you serve as a good example of how I think people can be careless with the feelings of others. What are you doing? Why are you making that face at me? You said, I think that's silly.
It is silly.
See?
If your feelings are hurt because I think you're silly, that's silly.
Again, it's
you
just
might be a little bit too sensitive. And I think that's a better illustration.
You.
Yeah, I think that's a better illustration of the point where people take these extreme positions, right?
Yeah.
Either pro or anti the show and just live and die for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
which is silly. It is silly. I think everybody can agree. If you pull back a little bit, it's a television show. And there's only really so much of yourself you should put into it emotionally because it is entertainment or not, right? I mean, maybe you aren't entertained by it. People have not liked Ted Lasso, right? And they won't watch it, or they're like heard about it and they're like, nope, that's not for me. That's fine. But it is simply entertainment. And I think if you
for
have
you.
Well, for everybody. It's not real life.
No, I know it's not real life, but what for is some it? People, it's it is very meaningful.
And it can be meaningful, but it's like anything. You have to kind of pick and choose what meaning you pull from something. And if you choose to be angry and upset at art, okay, you can be that. But it seems like a bit of an overreaction.
Again, I ask people,
have you ever been angry at a painting?
There are people who are angry. I don't know if it's really at the painting as much as it is at the artist, which is the same thing that's happening here. They're angry at the writers.
Mm-hmm.
If they're angry or disappointed, probably is more it.
And by the way, I'm perfectly fine with disappointment. I think that is a reasonable level of emotion you can have about a show. Anger, I think, is a step too far. I'm trying to think of the last TV show that made me angry, except for maybe documentaries about anti-scientific pyramid schemes. Those do make me a little angry.
We've gotten but that's angry. Because, that's part of what we do.
But that's because I'm not getting angry at entertainment. I'm getting angry at real life people scamming other people.
Yeah, but it's still being presented as entertainment.
Well, okay, but so, I also know that it's real
it's
life.
Layered. I think that you're still attached to the whatever it is that's triggering your feelings in the same way that people who like Ted Lasso are triggered by the things that.
Well, I'm triggered by actually evil people.
Maybe like people did you can ever get really invested. Maybe I wonder if it's. I wonder what causes.
Has a character in a show ever made you really angry?
Yes.
Who? Name some.
I'm angry at Ted.
Okay. let's crack that nut open.
Roast me.
Tell me why you're angry at a TV show character.
Because I don't think that the decision he made was a good one. It doesn't seem that now could it have happened off camera? Absolutely. I mean, so many of the critical story beats, as we discussed last week,
which,
happened
by the way, I like
off camera. But we don't know that Ted actually talked to Michelle about this.
Nope.
And we don't, or Henry. And we don't know. There's a lot we don't know. You have to make assumptions,
you know, in the storyline because they're not.
It just feels very like a very.
They're not spelling everything out for you,
it's
right?
That
doesn't explain why you're mad at Ted.
Because he went home. I think he should have done something different.
Okay.
And I don't mean that he should have stayed there to be with Rebecca necessarily because right. I don't want Rebecca with him at this stage. Ted's still too messy, as Sassy said. He's messy. He is.
He's a wounded bird. I think you got to cut him a little bit of a break, given his origin wounds.
As I think it through, I say to myself, well, honestly,
he's lucky he's as positive as he is.
Well, it's not even that. It's sort of like he's made this choice. It's clearly a step backwards or badly executed. And he's martyring. He's being a little bit of a martyr here, I think. Now, other people view it very differently. They see him as being very happy to be home and to be coaching his son's league.
Well, he can be. You don't have to be either or. That's a false dilemma, right? You don't have to be either a martyr or deliriously happy. He could have just made a bad choice.
Well, he did. But I think that choice was made out of martyrdom. I do. I really do. But so, I mean, I mean, I'm happy to just say he made a bad choice. Yeah. That's why I feel frustrated with his character. I feel aggravated by his character. His choice to me was so bad. In fact, as a character, that choice that I will not rewatch this show. And I am a show rewatcher. I love to rewatch shows because I see new things often every time that I watch new shows or rewatch shows and rewatch films and things like that.
Do you like Jamie Lannister?
No, I was outraged by Jamie. Jamie outraged me.
So you get angry at characters on the regular.
I do.
What about Fred Sanford?
No, I was too little to really be that invested.
Oh, sorry.
But I mean, do I feel sad about? I mean, I experience a lot of emotions around fictional characters.
Which is fine. That's normal. But I'm just saying at a certain point, don't you have to kind of say to yourself, it's a TV show. Maybe I shouldn't be angry at it. Maybe I should try to look and see.
Well, the anger isn't consuming my life. If my every waking moment was me gnashing my teeth over it, then obviously, no. Here's where it is. Like, normally, I would enjoy rewatching. This is where the anger plays out, right? This is the place. I'm not fighting with people online about it. I'm not. But my anger plays out thus. I cannot look at first and second season Ted with the same level of affection. All I would do is I would go back and I would look at first and second season Ted and I would start pulling apart his character, because I know that he is actually the opposite of that positive guy.
He is not the opposite of the positive guy.
He is something very different.
I don't think that is correct at all.
And maybe opposite isn't
he uses his positivity to mask his insecurities and fears. There's no doubt about that.
Right. And that's, but that's, so he's a, but it, so he's disingenuous.
You can't, no, but he's not disingenuous. Do you think a single thing he said to those guys he didn't mean?
I think he means a lot of the good things that he says. Right. I do.
But you can be positive to other people and think that that's an important thing to be and still be struggling with things in your own life.
I agree.
That doesn't make you dishonest.
But here's the first thing that I'll tell you. And see, already I've started to do it. So now in my mind, my headcanon is that Ted is a really broken dude. And I mean,
well, and he is.
And he is, but I think even more than, you know, remember we talked about it last week. I think he's more broken than anybody imagined him to be. And
maybe
But
given his origin, right? Given his upbringing and the things that have happened in his life, isn't that a reasonable end for that show? He is a positive force for other people. He believes.
But he can't take care of himself, right?
And that is pretty reasonable.
It is. But this, again, was meant to be a rom-com. But anyway, let me go back to this point about how I'm starting to pull him apart. So now I've got it in my mind that he's quite a broken guy. I recognize that he shouldn't have been with Rebecca. I also recognize that Rebecca did make herself pretty vulnerable with him and kept on. She tried it once in the stands, and then she met him at the airport and all of that. She kept trying to get him to make a different decision. He wouldn't do it. And he was shut off from her. So now I'm thinking, well, why would he do that? Because he had been open with her, you know, with his emotions. They had the Oklahoma, which was the thing that he took from his marriage counseling with his wife, and he applies with his soulmate. And so he's like, you know, so now they've got the Oklahoma truth word and they're truth telling to each other and all the rest. And then I say to myself, well, why did he lead her on? So then I got to thinking, I know, but then I got to thinking, okay, so now the first day he's there and he goes to his boss and he says to her, hey, I'm going to come in and I'm going to bring you biscuits every morning. And she says to him, no, I don't want you to do that, Ted. I don't have time for biscuits with the boss, right?
But keep in mind, this is also Rebecca who is trying to destroy the team.
So Rebecca is trying to destroy the team. I get that. It doesn't matter. She said to him, what? No.
Oh, my God. This is not some kind of consent thing.
And then
give me a fucking break.
Oh, the only reason that you can, the only reason that you can excuse that is either because it's a rom-com, which then makes sense because then boundaries slip, or if it's one of those stories where like a teacher goes into a troubled school and starts crossing boundaries like crazy, but it's for the greater good. And that's why it happened.
He's just trying to forge a relationship with his boss. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, my God.
Can you imagine if a man had said to him, Ted, we're not going to be doing this? Do you think Ted would then say, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing
it. Yeah, no. I think he would.
You think he'd bring his male boss biscuits and say, hey, come on.
He shows affection to all his coworkers.
I'm just saying, if a man,
he gives them books.
Yes, I'm not saying.
Do you think that if he's like, oh, I don't want a fucking book about, you know, teenagers traveling through time, right? Do you think he should go, oh, okay, well, no more books for you, Roy? He says, you know what? This is what I'm here for, okay? So, yeah, I want you to read the book. Boss, I'm here to kind of try to make this team better. I want to be successful. We need to have a relationship. If I have to do it through cookies, that's what we're going to do. And by the way, shortbread cookies are amazing.
They are delicious. I don't disagree with you. I also am saying to you that if it's not meant to be like a rom-com-ish film, then him insisting to continue to bring the biscuits doesn't make as much sense.
What about this? Can you envision a rom-com which is really more about friendship than romantic love?
You can't have a romance with a
friend.
But you
can do the formula,
You can have the formula where they're friends first and then they get together.
So you're watching Lifetime or Hallmark or whatever. You know, the woman has come from New York, of course, where she was a successful ad executive.
I'm going to tell you, they can't.
But I'm just saying that they can't because people want the boring formula. But I'm saying, wouldn't this be interesting if she moves out there and then the prince/lumberjack who always shows up,
they just become friends?
And they're like, you know what?
No.
We're just, you know, I really like you And, you know, you found this other man, and that's great. And let's just be pals.
If that's what you think,
that would be so interesting.
No.
That would be so interesting.
No, it would
yes, it would
not.
Because it breaks the formula. Because formulas, and I'm going to give you a little truth here. Formulas are dumb. Okay. That's when you get sucked into genre movies, right? Which, by the way, I've gotten sucked into too. There, every single fantasy movie is. Peasant boy who's really a prince who discovers that he's an amazing swordsman after 3 months of practice and kills the dragon. It's more interesting to say peasant boy stays a peasant boy, doesn't ever get good at swords, but this other guy who's really good at swords actually wins the, you know, the tournament or whatever.
That when is
you,
when absolutely you take
tropes,
not interesting.
When you take stupid tropes and you turn them on their heads,
oh my God.
That is interesting.
No. Yeah.
You just want formulas? Is that what you want?
No, not always.
It's more interesting when they mix things up a little bit.
As long as you're aware that it's going to be different. You can't
tell the audience ahead of time now?
No, if you're going into a rom-com, as a woman who is a consumer of rom-coms, into a rom-com.
I have to admit, I have no sympathy for people who think that they're going in to see a formulaic movie and don't get it. If you are just looking for formulaic
Everybody
entertainment,
is just looking for formulaic
I'm
entertainment.
I'm not.
Pretty much.
No, because the things that do really well are the things that break the mold in an interesting way.
I'm going into a rom-com.
Yeah.
I expect it to be a rom-com. If that's what it's billed as, it better be that. I'm not going into it looking for a groundbreaking retelling of a story.
Art should be
that, it, but then it
should
it's
be
not
innovative.
A rom-com. If you change the way, then it's not a rom-com. Then you can't say
it
that
can
it's
be
a
romantic without
well, you
ending
have,
up
yes.
in a
with, you have a without, romantic drama.
Right,
you
or have but it could be romantic, and then they decide, you know what, the romance part isn't really working, but we really value each other as humans. Or there was a romance and it looked like it was going according to formula. And then this guy who's neither a prince nor a lumberjack actually catches.
Well, but then that would be the love triangle. That would fit.
Right,
that
right.
Would fit into
well,
it.
That's fine. But then, you know, they surprise you at the end.
You could have a star-crossed romance.
Would you get upset?
No. Yes, I would.
Well,
I would. I would be frustrated.
That's silly.
If I'd sat through the entirety of When Harry Met Sally.
Right.
And at the end, Harry and Sally didn't get together. I would have been outraged.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have liked it. No one would have liked it.
That's because you're on the wrong side of the Harry Sally
On the other hand, if you have a film that is a romance, but it's bittersweet or star-crossed, then you get something like Bridges of Madison County.
Right.
Or something where one of them dies.
And that,
dies.
By the way, is,
but then that's still
is a much more important and well-done movie than When Harry Met Sally.
They're totally different genres. You can't say that.
Of course they are, but I'm just saying.
When Harry Met Sally is a great film and
a
fantastic romantic comedy.
Right.
The acting in When Harry Met Sally is
outstanding.
Really good.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, and you know, he made that comment about Nora Ephron. She became a cliche. If you go into a Nora Ephron movie, you know what you're going to get.
Of course, and that's exactly
what
you want.
That's
when you go
terrible.
Into a Nora Ephron
no,
movie,
because,
you want to, what
because
you want.
Because when I go into a Steven Spielberg movie, I don't know what I'm going to get. I just know I'm going to get a well-made movie. He's an actually great filmmaker, and she's a good rom-com maker.
So what? If that
no,
is,
and that's fine. And you can watch it. Look, I read science fiction books. They're incredibly formulaic. I understand that.
You can't.
But I also appreciate a book that starts off in that genre, but does something new and different. That is better art.
These value judgments, to you, that might be better art.
That's
to
what
me,
I'm saying. I'm not
I
saying
might,
you have
might,
to feel that way. I'm just saying that's how you should feel.
See?
Because I'm super right.
No, but this is the point
well, do you
that
disagree,
I want to make.
Do you disagree
that
with that point that innovation is better than formula? Do you disagree with that?
It depends.
On? Well, yes.
What is
I agree
genre?
It does depend because if I'm drinking a cola drink, please do not innovate. Give me the formula. But for art, if you're just getting the formula and that's all you want, that's fine, right? You can enjoy that. It's entertaining. But is that really great art?
It can be great art within its genre.
Yeah, but that's very limiting,
I mean,
right?
There's genre. The genre is its genre.
Yeah.
And then you might be able to innovate in some genres. Let's think about romantic comedies. Have there been innovations in romantic comedies? And I would say that they're
40-year-old virgin.
There probably has been. Yeah. But ultimately, the deep bones of a romantic comedy is that whoever the two protagonists are, they're going to have all kinds of issues, but ultimately there's going to be a happy ending. That's a romantic comedy. Now, you can innovate how you get to the happy ending, but the happy ending has to be there. And if you are giving cues and you are saying things like, this is a sports story written by Nora Ephron, then you're signaling to your audience, whether you meant to or not, that this is a romantic comedy and there's going to be a happy ending of the kind that you expect in a romantic comedy. Not the happy ending where the two leads who have great chemistry are separated. That's not following the formula. That's innovating the formula. And I get where you might say, well, that's edgy and cool to push that boundary. And that's super entertaining because now it's elevated to art because they subverted the strategy.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Annie Hall. Romantic comedy?
I mean, I don't know. I don't really. Is it? Is that what they're calling it?
Ready for another
it?
One? Lost in Translation.
Yeah, that one's a disappointing ending. I don't like that ending.
Yeah, of course you wouldn't because you like the.
I don't care about the Annie Hall ending as much.
Yeah, but it's not. They don't end up together.
I always get Annie Hall and Manhattan confused because then he ends up going back to. In Manhattan, they don't get together either.
Right.
And then he goes back to Mariel Hemingway. I can't remember. Tracy, I think, is her character's name. And he goes back to Tracy. And then that's the romantic thing, right? That he goes running through, which was a thing employed in When Harry Met Sally, where Harry goes running back.
Right.
And Woody also goes running back to Tracy.
Oh, he was looking at you, kid.
Again.
Casablanca.
That's star-crossed.
One of the great movies of all time.
That's a romance. It's not a romantic comedy. There's nothing comedic about.
Oh, sure there
about,
is.
Mark, about. No. Are you kidding me? Casablanca is not a romantic comedy. It's a romance. It's a romance. What were the other ones? Lost in Translation. It has comedic elements, but it's not a traditional romantic comedy.
Only because they don't end up together.
Exactly.
Which makes it more interesting.
No. I'm not saying that couples never always end up together. I'm saying that in good romantic comedies, the two main protagonists, if they don't end up together, it is going to be jarring and not really a romantic comedy.
So you've defined romantic comedy in such a way that it only qualifies as a romantic comedy if not only does there have to be comedy and romance, but there has to be a happy ending.
There has to be a happy ending.
But that's not really part of the definition, is it?
I think it is. Casablanca is not a romantic comedy, and I would say Lost in Translation. Casablanca is not hilarious.
It's hilarious.
It's a very serious romance drama.
A light comic movie or other work whose plot focuses on the development of a romantic relationship. That'd be your definition, right? But what if it just, at the end, doesn't work?
That's not a romantic
comedy. But there's nothing in the definition that says that. So that's Christina's definition.
No, but anybody, I'm sorry. If you're watching a romantic comedy and going, God, I hope they end up not together.
Like, does that mean
I'm really here for the edgy twist.
Does that mean that all sci-fi movies have to end up with the plucky hero killing the alien?
Usually it does.
But what if they don't?
Then it's a different kind of movie,
It's still a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, but I don't know, maybe then it's some kind of moral lesson or something.
It's a science fiction movie that just ends in a different way than you expected it to.
All right, Mark, let's try and wrap this up and come to some conclusions. And I don't think that there probably are any conclusions. I think the conclusion is that you see
kind,
things in one way.
Yeah, be kind to other people. Is that basically your conclusion?
Well, no, I don't think that it's possible. I think it would be unrealistic for me to say something like that and expect that it would happen. I think that really ultimately where we are is in a place that people are doing what they're doing. This is what it is. This is, and it's almost a little Lord of the Flies sometimes, you know, it gets rough. The online world is not a place where you can come to the center of town
and throw back
a couple of beers with buddies.
You just don't want to bring a knife to a gunfight. You've got to come guns blazing.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, this is more
and
like,
by the way,
you know, going to the OK Corral than going to the town square.
I am perfectly happy participating in those kinds of conversations, as you know.
Yes.
If they're a particular kind of people.
Well, it's, and it, well, but you get to decide if they're that.
Oh, of course. I mean, there's no, who else is going to decide for me? Of course I'd have to decide, and you can decide for yourselves whether I pick the right targets or not, right? I think that there is a way to kind of remove your emotions from a discussion about something that doesn't really warrant it. Mm-hmm. You know, but we do get very invested because outrage online is a thing. Mm-hmm. You just take it, you just go all in on your position.
Typically when I say something, if I'm going to be upset about something online, yeah, I do feel outraged. Do I have a consideration that like, oh, I'm going to go post that on, I'm so outraged, I'm going to post that on Twitter and I yeah hope about, I get about,
I'm calling your
followers
job and I'm going to tell them that you don't like Ted Lasso.
Yeah. No, but I mean, do I think I'm going to get a bunch of followers off of my outraged opinion? No.
I feel outraged, especially when it comes
several
to politics.
Several times this evening.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty outraged right now, I'll be honest. You'd be lucky to make it out of here unscathed. But I think that it is, and again, I joke around about this, but I think you can adopt a little bit of a stoic attitude and realize that other people's opinion shouldn't control you or your emotions. Feel how you feel about the show. Have some perspective about it. It is just a TV show, right? Now, it can be a great TV show. You can really care about the show a lot. I'm not sure anger is ever super justified, but maybe it is. You know, maybe you just do feel anger, but you also have to realize some people are going to think that it's silly that I feel anger, and maybe don't get angry at that.
I don't know that anybody would say that others are not entitled to feel that their position is silly, a little silly or whatever.
Right.
I understand that not everybody is going to agree with my opinion. What I don't think is cool is when someone just unbidden, I'm not going to them and saying, you know, right, whatever. I'm just chatting with people. All of a sudden someone comes in and feels qualified.
Well, actually.
To say, yeah, well, actually, you're this, and this. Back the fuck up. Yeah. Because it's like, you know, what the hell? Why does your opinion, why should I change my opinion to your opinion? That's nuts. Don't expect me to do that. I'm entitled to my opinion. As long as I'm not doing anything harmful, it doesn't really matter. And I think that that's lost online.
They have their opinion. It doesn't affect me.
Yeah, of course. Right? I mean, you're allowed to
or
do
you
that.
Can just say whatever, block. You know, if they're really offensive, just block them.
Yeah.
I understand not everybody has that ability.
That's putting the onus on the person who is being attacked. To just
and that is absolutely
and that's ridiculous. Instead of the expectation being on the people who are attacking, because why should those people be able to run amok and other people are just like, well, you know, I mean, that's a perfect world. It's always going to be the imbalance this way. But
that's
still,
that's the beauty of stoicism. Is you snark at it, but there's a reason why every single life coach in the world uses stoicism.
So I know, right? I mean, it's a good scam
tool. It's pretty handy.
It's convincing.
But nobody's saying that you have to change your opinion about the show. But what would be healthy is to not let other people's shitty opinion about you or the show affect you, especially when you don't know who these people are.
Well, fair enough. But also, like, who the fuck is this nameless, faceless idiot
right
coming and telling me how I should feel?
Right.
I mean, it's never.
And then feel good. And then you can feel good about taking them on. That's what I do.
It's never going to be. It's never going to be a nice situation online. It's, in fact, I suspect it'll get worse and worse.
Oh, I'm sure it will. It's going to get to the point where people are like going to use deep fakes and like, hey, look, here's a picture of you getting beheaded, AI.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's awful. All right. Well, this was an interesting conversation. Thank you. I think that we probably went more into detail on Ted Lasso than we anticipated, but it doesn't matter. I'm glad that we had that conversation.
Right on.
Next, we'll be talking about the Natalia Grace.
Wow, that is crazy.
Documentary.
Oh, wait, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. So that's going to be coming up in the near future. We're also going to be talking about the Pretty Baby, the Brooke Shields documentary.
And I think we have some more artificial intelligence stuff coming up.
And we have a couple more artificial intelligence episodes. We're going to be doing one where we talk about the writer's strike and artificial intelligence's
possible role.
And then we are going to be talking about AI in the workplace.
Right. And possibly exposing Mark as a robot.
I think I did a pretty good job of that tonight.
Probably.
All right. So do you have anything else? Oh, we should do social media.
Do we have social media?
We do. We have a Twitter, which is extemporaneous2. And I am at Christina Gen X, and Mark is at Mark Eats Peach. We also have a Facebook group, so you can join us there. And I think that's all I have to say, except for bye.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.